You love your church just a little more after the last few weeks. We've been just walking in the Word. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all that God is doing among us. I really am. This has been a move, and we've been feeling just these waters churning and things happening, and I'm really, really thankful. The Lord has been good to this church. And for his goodness, we stay hungry and we stay thirsty for more. We want him to do more among us. We're not satisfied. Yes, yes, it's good to be content and grateful for all that he's done. And sometimes there are those seasons where you just kind of, you know, coast or just kind of ride the wave and just rest in the momentum. But we're always digging, always pushing, always trying to see what it is that God wants to do for us. So I know you're already thinking about the grilled food outside, and I want to get you there in just a few minutes. But I want to go to work here for just a little while today because I believe that the Lord has a word for us. Acts chapter 16. I had you stand last week. I'm not going to do that today because I'm going to just work through a number of verses here and just kind of allow this story to unfold for us. And I think you're going to see just how true this is for us. May the 30th, 2021. Look at somebody on your row and tell them we are all here. We are all here. That's what I want to preach for just a little while today. We are all here. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, this is Paul telling the story. This is Paul describing how all of this is unfolding in their lives. Once we were going to the place of prayer. Can I just pause a moment and tell you that the devil doesn't fool with anyone who isn't a threat to him? He just doesn't. He doesn't fool with people who are not a threat to him. So if something is stirred up in your life, if something is happening in your life, you must be a problem for the enemy. Paul was a problem for the devil. He was a problem for hell. He was a problem for the kingdom of darkness. So the enemy was always trying to thwart whatever he was doing, always trying to mess up his plans, always trying to step in and trip and wreak havoc and just cause problems. I mean, these men, they were not on their way to Six Flags. They were not on their way to the mall. They were not on their way to the newest, latest, greatest restaurant in town. They were on their way to prayer. It's when I'm doing spiritual things. It's when I'm serving. It's when I'm engaged in kingdom business that the enemy wants to try and cause these problems. So they're on their way to the place of prayer, and they were met by a female slave, still in verse number 16, who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. I'm reading from the NIV. In the King James, it says, a spirit of divination. She was trying to predict the future. She earned, the Bible said, a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She earned all this money. She's going about telling people's fortunes, doing her own version of prophesying. This is in the Bible. This is not a TV preacher scam. This is right here in the Word of the Lord. And hear me, the enemy in 2021 is making big business out of a lie. Making big business out of people who are deconstructing. That's the new buzzword, deconstructing their faith. People who need to take a second look at the Bible and just see if it says what it says. Now we have so many translations that are so watered down from the true meaning or the true intent of the word of God. The enemy in these last days is making big business from a lie, because truth is so subjective now. It is so watered down now to the point that no one really knows what truth is anymore. If we want to know the truth, we go to Facebook to find a friend's post. What do they think about this? What are they saying about this? We go and see what the celebrities are saying about this subject. I don't know how I feel. I'm waiting for someone on the TV to tell me how I am supposed to feel, how I am supposed to react. Now we have things like my truth and your truth. The question I have is, any of that, mine or yours, the truth? Is what I'm arguing, is what I'm declaring, is it the truth? Don't forget where we started 2021. We started in a series called Frequency, finding, hearing, tuning in to the voice of God. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some of those messages if you need a tune-up for getting tuned in and how to hear the voice of God in your life. But verse 17, the Bible said that she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Here's what she was saying: these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. That's what she's shouting. She's actually telling the truth. That's exactly what Paul and the other disciples with him were doing. They were servants of the Most High God who are telling the way to be saved. What's happened though is that the enemy has twisted good news until it sounds like crazy talk. He's twisted the good word until people think it's right wing, or it's something just completely crazy, or it's just some crazy religious talk, and no one wants to accept it, and no one wants to believe it. I know we got a picnic, but I feel my preach coming in to the room. There was a pastor in Canada that was just arrested. For what? He was arrested for preaching the gospel. That's where we are. Now worship, now going to church is the crazy idea. That's the out of mind idea. Someone wanting to be in the presence of God has become crazy talk. Pastor, you're getting political. No, I'm remaining spiritual, because we've confused and conflated the two. In fact, the Bible said that she kept this up for many days. She kept this up for many days. I do admire Pastor Paul's patience, because he was very long-suffering. Y'all got to pray for me. I'm not nearly that patient. This woman keeps this up, just going, yelling. Everything they try to do, she's trying to disrupt. She's trying to disturb. She's trying to create and cause problems. I told you about the lady that Kristen and I pastored, who was raised in a Satanist home. It was a very unfortunate and abusive situation, but her job, what she was trained to do, was to go into churches, just sweet little churches with God-fearing people on every row. She would go in, and while the service would be unfolding, while someone would be leading worship, while someone would be preaching the word, somehow, in some way, she would create a disturbance. She would create a situation. She would create something that just commanded everyone's attention, whether she was faking being choked or whatever was happening. She would find all kinds of ways and scenarios, and then for her, she felt success was the fact that that service could not go on, or it was disrupted to the point that everyone's minds were focused on whatever she was doing instead of what was being preached or what was being said or the ultimate goal in that service. That's the way the enemy works. He wants to distract us. He wants to get our minds off of what is happening. That's why it's best for there to be as little movement as possible. It's best, you know. I know it's tough on family fifth Sunday, and I know you didn't have to go to the restroom all day long until I just started preaching. Then it's like, oh my word, I got to go. I know it's just all kind of things that are constantly pulling at us and trying to get our attention. At some point, I got to realize, wait a minute, I'm not going to let the enemy cheat me out of what it is that God is doing in this hour. And finally, verse 18 says, Paul became so annoyed. It's all right, Paul, that you're annoyed. It's all right in 2021. We love our church so much that we are a little annoyed by what the enemy keeps trying to do. We are annoyed with what the devil is up to. We are annoyed with his distractions. We are annoyed with his delays. We are annoyed with the problems that he keeps causing and the things that keep arising. So Paul turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Not God's Spirit, the Spirit of the enemy left her. And suddenly she was no longer a distraction. Here's what I'm teaching out of this. Demonstration is the only thing that is going to get the attention of the world in 2021. Demonstration of the power of God. That's the only thing that's going to get the attention of the world. Just telling them this is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is a lie, that's not getting it done. People have so many options for truth. They have so many opinions they can pull from. They can find someone. You and I can find someone somewhere who agrees with us. We can find someone with the right degree, the right title, the right lead to their name, and just the perfect, you know, just perfect bio. We can find someone that agrees with whatever it is that our flesh is wanting to do. And so we need a demonstration of the power of God. I read a story this week about a man who was on a subway, and he felt a prompting on the subway packed full of people. Felt a prompting to stand up and to declare with a loud voice that Jesus is Lord and we need to repent of our sins. He did that, and people just, you just sit down, shut up, you know, we don't want to hear all of that. Sit down. And so he sat down feeling defeated. He sat down feeling like, you know, embarrassed, ashamed. He had messed up. He had embarrassed himself in front of all of these people. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations where someone did that. I was just, you know, riding up 142 on the other side of 20. It's got about four different names, Hazelbrand, whatever that road is. But right there at the QT, there was a man who had a sound system set up, and he had a serious boombox, and it was loud. And he was preaching to people that were pumping gas. I guess you got a captive audience, at least for the next few moments that it takes me to fill my tank. But then he got after the people, because I had to, you know, I'm nosy. I got to know who's preaching in Newton County. And I had to sit and listen for a few moments. And then he was preaching to people that were coming in and out of the store. And I finally drove off when I heard him say, I see you carrying those cigarettes, you're going to hell. I don't know that he was winning any souls that day. I don't know that he was doing any good, but we've been in those environments where it's like, man, the sooner this crazy person hushes, the quicker this person just stops doing this the wrong way. But this man is sitting on this subway and he feels the prompting again. And he stands up on the subway and he's got to project his voice loud and he says, Jesus is Lord. He's coming back. You need to repent and allow him to save your life. And there was a woman in particular that got angry. What is that that you're preaching? What is that that you're saying? She got up in his face angry, mad, yelling at this man. You old man and you're crazy talking. She was just berating him. There is no God. None of that is true. God is not even real. He does not even exist. The woman had a little girl beside her and the little girl was hitting her mama's hip. The little girl was trying to get her mom's attention and the man was saying, ma'am, I'm sorry, but Jesus is, he's not real. And finally the little girl spoke up and said, mama, leave him alone. He is telling the truth. Jesus is Lord, and we need to repent. But listen, that's not even the miracle, because the mama fell apart on the subway and began to scream and cry and look at her baby and, oh my, what just happened? She starts going crazy, and people around her saying, wait a minute, what is going on with you? And she said, you don't understand. My little girl was a deaf mute who could not speak. All right, we'll go to picnic in a minute. That didn't get your attention today. The only thing that's going to move people in 2021 is a demonstration. What I preached last week, if we're going to say that we're a church that believes in healing, then I declare someone in this room to be healed right now. If we're going to say that Jesus is a deliverer, then I speak deliverance over someone who's tired of being a slave to your addiction. I speak life and deliverance and healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. If we're going to say that's who we are, we need to practice what we preach. Got to practice. Paul was annoyed. Paul said, not fooling with this, so that devil's got to come out of you. It's got to come out. But of course, that only enraged the enemy even more. So verse 19 said that when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. You know what they were saying in 2020 terms? They were saying, we demand they be canceled. Cancel Paul and Silas. Cancel their message of hope. Cancel their message of deliverance. Cancel their message of restoration. Their miracles are throwing our city into an uproar, because it seems like our nation would rather riot or be satisfied with crime in our streets than we would a move of God. We're trying to restrict the church down while we allow craziness to run rampant. Getting political about it. No, I'm not. I'm staying spiritual. We need a demonstration of the power of God. No prayer at school, but no pronouns either. I'll find your soapbox in a minute. Just give me time. Food not ready. They'll text me when it's ready. We're living in an upside down world, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in a world that is messed up, and we were told this is what the last days would be. The problem is they have surprised us. They have shocked us. They have caught us unaware. They are advocating, Paul and Silas are advocating customs too hard for us Romans to follow. They're conservative ideals. The morals that they espouse at that church, they are too much. And so we want them canceled. Simple disagreement is not allowed. Simple, you live your life and I'll live mine is not allowed. Now everyone has to be silenced. Either I'm telling the truth or I'm not. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Because that's what 2021 looks like. The crowds go crazy and they don't even know the cause. The crowd goes wild and they don't even know the reasoning behind someone's argument. So they joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. On the accusation of these people in the marketplace and on the political power of a crowd cheering and jeering, Paul and Silas are stripped and beaten with rods. You remember it was a mob that crucified Jesus. And I'm not about to join another one in 2021. After they had been severely flogged, verse 23, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Verse 24, when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they've been beaten, they have been flogged, they have been put in the inner cell of the prison. They're told to be guarded carefully, put more men on them because Paul and Silas are dangerous. Beaten, flogged, innermost prison cell, guarded with multiple guards. They are dangerous. What are you saying, Pastor Darrell? I'm saying I want the devil to be this scared of me too. I'm going to preach. I'm right on time. I want the devil to be this scared of me as well. You may feel weak today. You may be struggling in this room today. But hear me, there is a winner inside of you. You may feel like you have been beaten. You may feel like you have been flogged. You may feel stripped of all dignity. You may feel like you have hands behind your back or just chained up so that you can't even maneuver in life. But hear me, there is a champion inside of you. That's what I'm speaking to today. That's who I'm preaching to today. That's who I need to make sure can hear me in this room today, because that is what will cause you to survive whatever circumstance, whatever situation you are in, whatever it is that you are dealing with and what you are going through. You say, what in the world is there to be afraid of? Paul and Silas, why are you afraid of them? You've beaten them, flogged them. They're in shackles in the inner cell. Why are these people so afraid of them? They're in chains. They're not going anywhere. But here's what the devil knows. The devil knows he doesn't have a chain big enough to stop praise. (Clears throat) The devil knows he does not have a circumstance powerful enough, a problem significant enough, a mess massive enough to stop worship and what it can do in someone's life. Doesn't matter what he piles on top of you. Doesn't matter what he brings against you. It doesn't matter what he builds around you. If you can eke out one hallelujah, if you can raise a pinky in the air, if you can wiggle your big toe in the name of Jesus, the devil knows he cannot block praise. He scares us with the circumstances. He makes us nervous with the situations in our life. But if we would keep on worshiping, if we would keep on singing, if we would keep on praising in the midst of it all, I don't know who I'm preaching to on picnic Sunday. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's somebody that needs to find your praise. It's somebody that needs to find your worship. It's someone that needs to find a hallelujah down on the inside of you and give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that whatever I've got going on in my life, I've still got enough strength to say hallelujah as loud as I possibly can. Devil, I'm not afraid of you. Bring some more trouble. Bring some more problems. But I've got a hallelujah on the inside of me, and I refuse to be quiet. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to shut up. I'm going to keep worshiping God because he is Lord, and we do need to be saved in his name. Just one time, somebody in this room shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil knows. Lock me up in a circumstance. Beat me down in a situation. Cripple me in a crisis. But if I can open my mouth, I choose to open up my mouth. And the Bible said in verse 25 that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Someone in this room, it's your dark night. You need to keep singing. You need to keep praising. You need to keep giving. You need to keep declaring. You need to keep choosing worship. 1 Thessalonians 5 said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Don't wait for it to get better before you worship. Don't wait for things to settle down before you praise. Do it right now in the midst of your mess, right there in hell. Go ahead and worship and watch the devil run away from you. Come back next Sunday, guest. I'll try again to behave. But I feel something shut up in my bones. It's got to come out. God is great and greatly to be praised. If I had pain in my body right now, you wouldn't be able to quiet me down. If I had mess bigger than my life right now, you wouldn't be able to shut me up. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship. I'm going to declare the goodness of God. But Pastor Darrell, I'm so weak. Do it with a whisper. Pastor Darrell, I'm so overwhelmed. Do it with just a moment. Pastor, I'm so stressed out. Find a second of sanity and say, Jesus, I trust you in my life. It was at midnight that they were singing and praising God. And guess what? The Bible said that the other prisoners were listening to them. Yeah, your co-workers, your neighbors, your family, your friends, they're all listening. They're all listening to how you're going to respond, how you're going to react, what you're going to do in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your crisis, in the midst of your problem. Everyone is listening. Oh, this is going to break her for sure. This is going to get the best of him, absolutely. It's not that they're cheering. It's not that they're cheering it on. It's not that they're wanting your demise. Sure, there are haters like that, and God bless them if you possibly can. But people just, you know, when they're in mess, and mess just keeps multiplying, and they hear about a God who saves and a God who works, and they know you're full of God, but they see you overwhelmed. They stand back because you are the ultimate test as to whether or not God is really real. You say, Pastor Dale, that's too much pressure on me. I understand. But to whom much is given, much is required. I know it's not any fun that everybody's got their eyes on me. But that's why I say, Lord, this is no longer my battle. It's your name that's on the line. So you got to bring me through this. You've got to get me out of this. You've got to heal. You've got to work. You've got to deliver. Because they're all listening. They're listening. My good attitude shines through. My spirit smile is bright. So I sing and I pray and I declare and I remain faithful until the chains break. I feel the Lord in this room. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Sweeping in the room. I don't know who needs glory today. I don't know who needs the presence of God. Powerful and strong and real in your life. But verse 26 says that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Can I tell you today that there is no shaking like a supernatural shaking? Can I tell you that's the exact kind of shaking we need in our community? That's the kind of shaking we need in our church. That's the kind of move we need in this house. It was an earthquake. The foundation shook. The doors flew open and everyone's chains fell off. It's not another election we need. It's not more stimulus that'll do it. We need revival. We need a move of God. We need a shaking of the Holy Spirit. Father, I stop preaching right now to pray on this Memorial Day weekend. When everybody's looking to flags, when everyone is trying to tune in to a speech, while everyone is trying to get a word of comfort and solace and healing in our nation, Lord, even around our world, I pray for revival. I pray for revival in Newton County. I pray for revival in Rockdale County. I pray for revival in Walton County. I pray for revival in Atlanta Metro. I pray for revival in the state of Georgia. I pray for revival from sea to shining sea, from the border of Mexico all the way to Canada. I pray for Mexico and for Canada and around the world. We need a revival. We need a revival. Devil, whatever thoughts you had planned for this church, I cancel you. I cancel your plans. I cancel every device and every wile of our enemy. Today I declare revival in this church. I declare supernatural, exponential growth in this church. I declare revival in Jesus' name. Yes. Some of you would be more excited and more passionate if you understood that revival means that your teenage kids are going to get saved in that revival. Some of you would get more excited and more passionate about praying if you realize that your lost spouses would get saved in that revival. That's the kind of revival I'm declaring, and I'll die on this stage before I give up anything less than what God has for us. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. I'm mad at anybody but the devil. But I'm mad at the devil. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Somebody else, I just need somebody else to get mad too. It's what the Bible said. The Bible said it happened at once. Do you understand that God can do it all at once? Once. You realize he's got the power to change our circumstance at once. I know for everybody that I've been hearing you say process. I've been trying to condition my mind and prepare myself for the process. I want to be ready for the process. I want to be ready for however it's going to happen. But I can't discount that the Bible said it happened at once. I need an at once kind of move of God in my life, something that is instantaneous, something that is right now, something that breaks and just moves all at once. And look at this. I'm closing. Let me skip and move and hurry. The Bible said that the jailer woke up. Wait a minute. The jailer slept through this? This is Jeffrey Epstein level guard sleep. He slept through an earthquake, a violent earthquake, and shaking and doors opening up and chains falling off. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. The truth is, God will let your enemy sleep through your miracle. But everything I've preached already, this is where I need to get to right here. I'm going to preach this message in my closing. Because Paul shouted in verse 28, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer wakes up after an earthquake. He's been charged with keeping these dangerous prisoners. And he knows it's going to cost him his life. He sees all the doors open and all their chains down on a floor somewhere. And so he draws out his sword. He's about to take his own life. And Paul said, wait a minute. We're all here. We're all here. This is why I love my church. Because we are all here. So I love what God is doing in this house, because it's not you going through your thing by yourself and me going through my thing by myself. We're all here. We're all going through and dealing with. Today, this week, this month, some may be up, many are down, but we're all in it together. You see, COVID did its best to splinter the church, to divide and separate the people of God. We've got beautiful in-person crowd, hundreds that'll watch online this week. And so glad you're with us today online. But COVID has tried to separate us, divide us, keep us on one side or the other. But Lord, I pray you hold us together. I pray you hold us together. Because no pandemic, no fear, no Fauci, nothing should divide us. We're all here. And among us today, among us are people who are facing and fighting. People who are facing things. People who are fighting things. You know what I say today? I say they should not face nor fight alone. Someone in this room that's facing something, they shouldn't have to face it by themselves. Someone that's fighting should not have to fight alone. Some of those prisoners, they didn't even know Paul's song, but they heard him singing. You may not even know my praise today. You may not even know the song I'm singing, but I'm listening. I'm catching a word here and a word there, and I may not be singing, but I feel this. I feel this. I feel it. You don't have to fight alone. You don't have to face what you're facing alone. There's people in this room that are dealing. But hear me. We are not free in this room until everyone in this room is free. We don't have justice until everyone has justice. If my black brother or sister is dealing with it, that means I'm dealing with it too. If you're facing something, that means I'm facing it too. Doesn't matter what it is. I got James Henderson in my spirit today. He normally sits right back here, but I've not seen him. Probably a year, high risk. He may be watching online today. There's people in this room that know how to get a hold of James Henderson. Tell him the word of the Lord is strong today. God to heal his heart. God to touch his body. God to move in his life in Jesus' name. Valerie, I don't know how you got on the front row today. Would you stand for me just a minute, Valerie? Boys, just sit tight for just a moment. If you've not met Miss Valerie, this woman is a godsend to this house. No, keep standing a minute. Keep standing. I'm not done. This is not permission for you to come ask her or get in her business, but you have no idea. You have no idea how hard the devil has fought this woman. And as long as she's here fighting, I'm here too. What's going on? I need to know. Let me go check them. No. We can't tell stuff like that. We don't talk stuff like that. Some details are just not known. But guess what? If they're fighting, I'm fighting. Because we're all here. Every single mom in this room, every single dad in this room, everyone under financial stress and strain, we're all here. We're all here. Don't let the devil tell you that you gotta get out of this church because those people don't understand. No, no, no. We understand because we are all here. For every marriage that is struggling, for everyone who is facing addiction, there's not anybody in this room looking at you with judgment saying, well, you should have known better. No, we're right here shaking with you. We're right here withdrawing with you. We're right here craving with you. We are all here. I've risen to tell somebody that I love my church because from one side to the other, from this pulpit to the back row, everybody in this house needs Jesus. We're all here. We're all here. We're all here. The only ones of you I don't relate to are the vegetarians. But give me time. Never know what God may do. He ain't doing that, but you just never know what God may do. Come on, team. We're all here. We're not alone. Paul said in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So today, if you're rejoicing, I rejoice with you. But today, if you're weeping, I weep with you. Let me finish the story because I hate to leave it undone. The jailer, verse 29, called for lights because light exposes. I'm seeing the truth for myself. While it was shadowed and dimmed, I couldn't quite make out faces or know what was going on, but he called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The jailer, the guard, the policeman is asking the accused, what do I have to do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I can't explain it to you, but I feel it. I feel it with everything inside of me, and this is why I'm trying to get us ready, because I believe truth is coming. I believe revival is coming, and I'm trying to prepare this house to be ready. Pastor Darrell, when I hear it sweep, I'm afraid if you're not ready, you won't even hear it sweep. Pastor Darrell, as soon as I see it move, I'll jump in. No. I'm afraid if you're not a part of this pre-thing, you're not going to be. We're living in a day when the very elect are being deceived and all kind of things are happening. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. But verse 32 said that they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. I reading this afresh this week, this blew my mind. You realize they left the prison and they went to the jailer's house. When does that happen? They left prison and went to the jailer's house, preached the word, baptized people, and then ate. That sounds like a pretty good Sunday, doesn't it? Left prison, went to the house, preached the word, baptized people, and had a picnic outside. Pretty fantastic. Bible said he set a meal before them. It was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So in verse 35, when it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. Now, Paul and Silas, the other prisoners, are back in jail. Paul is saying, we don't have to escape this. We got truth on our side. We got God's calling, anointing, and appointing on our lives. I don't have to run from the accusation. I'm not going to do anything underhanded. I'm not going to cheat. God's will be done in my life. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, I love this. This is what some of you needed to hear. Paul said, they beat us publicly without a trial. Even though we are Roman citizens, they threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly? Let them come themselves and escort us out. Because see, that's what the devil always wants to do. He wants to make a big, big to-do in public and then come apologize and repay in private. That's why when you see a big trial in the news and all of a sudden it's a real quiet amount, it's under seal and lock and key, and they don't want you to know what it cost them. Paul said, I'm not doing that. The devil tried to humiliate me publicly. I like your shirt, drummer. The devil tried to embarrass me. He tried to tear my family apart in front of all of our friends and loved ones. The enemy tried to ruin me. The devil tried to do all this, and now he wants to just back away quietly. No, devil, I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to testify with a loud voice of all that God has kept me from and all that God has brought me through. And all that God has done. Some of us in this room need to stop being afraid of the devil. I'm not sneaking out of my mess. I'm high stepping out of my mess. I'm not going to tiptoe out of my problem. I'm going to let everybody know, hey, you know what the devil tried to do in my... Let me tell you how he failed. I am an overcomer. I was in chains, but I was able to get my pinky in the air. They had me muffled, but I was able to think a praise and gave that praise to God. And now I have been delivered and I have been set free. So you know what the Bible said, verse 39, they came to appease them and escorted them from the prison and requested that they leave the city. The truth is, everyone is really scared. The devil is nervous. You and I are afraid. You'd be shocked to know how much more afraid the enemy is of you than you are of him. Verse 40, and I'm done. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Been along 48 hours for Paul and Silas. They hadn't slept much. They're out of prison. What are we going to do now? Let's go to Lydia's house. Why? Because they're all there. We want to be where everybody is. I'm going to the picnic today because everybody's going to be there. And I want to be where you are. I want to do life with you. And among you, I want to fight for you, Donnie Lee. I want to believe with you, Grangers. I want to stand with you. I want to fight because we are all here. Father, I pray today. I pray today that you would help us. I pray today that we would realize it's not just we, me, I living this life. but that I've got so many friends, so many brothers and sisters in this faith family who are overcoming, living through, fighting through. Not gonna let the devil tell me one more Sunday to stay asleep because nobody understands. No. We are all here. I love my church. I pray for people in this room today that need to come to a place of decision. Come to a place of choice and choosing who they will serve. Today they stand at a crossroads. Today they stand at an intersection. Could go one way or the other. Today I choose life. Today I choose the goodness of God. Today I choose salvation. Today we repent of our sin. We reject the enemy's plan for our lives. Today we accept your gift of salvation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me across the room today? Hallelujah. Sing it one time. There's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. I'm not waiting. Not anymore.
Lord.